Family North International as well, sir. This is now 10 hours GMT. Good morning. This is Mike Ross with the latest news summary. The British ambassador in Moscow has had talks with Soviet officials this morning about the diplomats recently asked to leave the United Kingdom. Lasted for 20 minutes, but no direct communique about the context of the talks has not been released. There are rumors in Whitehall that the Russians may take some action in form of retaliation against the British government's recent expulsion of the accused Soviet diplomats. Six people were arrested yesterday in Jordanian troops in Palestinian refugee camps around Amman. According to a Jordanian government official, 50 machine guns and other weapons were found. According to reports on Pakistani radio, there was an attempted murder in the East Pakistan capital of Dhaka. The attempt was directed at the East Pakistan Minister of Administration. The minister and his chauffeur were injured when a time bomb exploded in their car. The Chinese Vice Premier, Lin Chenyan, has made a request to the American President to name a date for the withdrawal of American troops from South Vietnam. Mr. Liu is in Hanoi, where he is talking to the North Vietnamese government regarding Chinese economic help to North Vietnam. Leaders of the Group of Ten met in Washington to discuss the world military situation. And after a two-hour meeting, all parties have come to a definite conclusion on each country's standpoint. This afternoon, the financial ministers will again meet to try and find common ground on which to work. When the yearly meeting of the International Monetary Fund starts tomorrow, the United States wants revaluation of the European and Japanese currencies, while some of the other countries want concessions from America. Sources in France have suggested that through industrial espionage, the Soviet Union may have gained up to 15 months in getting their supersonic Tu-144 jet airliner into the air ahead of the Anglo-French Concorde. At yesterday's meeting of the United Nations General Assembly, it was decided to postpone for 1 year all questions concerning Korea. The vote was 68 in favour, 28 against, and 22 abstentions. The UN Security Council will be debating later on the status of Jerusalem. Jordan has suggested that Israel has plans to annex the Arab sector of the Holy City. Israel has denied the charge. It was announced yesterday in a... The announcement was made on completion of... 9,935 kilohertz, and to Europe in the 49-meter band at 6,205 kilohertz. RNI's world service originates from the radio ship Mevo 2, anchored in international waters 4 miles from the coast of Europe. This is RNI's world service to the world with music, and now a special DX program.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. Wherever you may be listening in RNI's worldwide listening land, this is yours truly, A.J. Behrens, with the September edition of North Sea Goes DX. This time we have DX information, solution of the DX contest, P.O. Box 113 is calling thee, and the history of Radio Hauraki, New Zealand. Due to the length of the latter item, no station is highlighted in this edition. September the 5th, the daily English programs from Radio Sweden, Stockholm, directed to Europe, are as follows. From 1100 to 1130 hours GMT, on 9630 kHz, 9630 kHz in the 31-meter band. From 1600 to 1630 hours GMT, on 6065 kHz kind, is among the DX News items this month. The BBC Radio 4 relay station at Dover on 206 meters has recently been on 500 watts only after an act of sabotage silenced the station on Friday, August 27th at 23:30 hours. It is further reported that a spokesman for the IRA, when contacted in this respect, has denied all responsibility for this act. Die deutschsprachige Sendung vom Sender Frieden und Fortschritt aus Moskau wird jeden Abend von 19 Uhr bis 19.30 Uhr GMT ausgestrahlt auf 5950 kHz, 5950 kHz, 7330 kHz, Redo Doppel 30 kHz und 7380 kHz, 7380 kHz. Nachher wird auf den gleichen Wellenlängen eine Sendung Radio Moskaus für die Tschechoslowakei übertragen. Radio Australia's program to the United Kingdom is on the air daily from 06:45 to 07:45 hours GMT on 11,765 kHz, 11,765 kHz in the 25-meter band, and on 9,570 kHz, 9,570 kHz in the 31-meter band. Radio Pyongyang from North Korea can be picked up in English with a very good signal from 1900 to 2000 hours GMT on 6540 kHz, 6540 kHz. The program is followed by a transmission in Korean. Several reports have come in stating that along the Dutch and Belgian coast, the FM transmission of Radio North Sea International can regularly be received with good results up to 100 kilometers away from the Mebo 2. For your information, the present power of the RNI FM outlet is 1 kilowatt. Radio Seed, the former Swedish offshore station, has now been broadcasting to West Africa from the Gambia since May the 9th, 1970. The station is on the air 20 hours per day from 0600 to 0200 hours. Radio Seed has its own radio building and a 270-foot high antenna mast in Bathurst. The transmitter power is 5 kilowatts, and the programs are broadcast on 329 meters, 910 kilohertz in Wolof, Mandinka, English and French. Production and program director of Radio Seed Gambia is Brit Wagner's friend Ingvar Hjelström. The ship MS Cheetah 2 lies in the harbor of Bathurst and is used as a restaurant where Swedish delicacies are served. Radio Seed's address is P.O. Box 279.280, Bathurst, the Gambia, Africa. So you know, when in West Africa, make it a date with Radio Seed, your all-day and everyday music station. Next to Radio Seed, Gambia also has a government station, Radio Gambia. This station started broadcasting on May the 1st, 1962. Its programs are in English, Wolof, Mandinka, Fula, Sahule, and Yola. The transmitter, belonging to the Cable and Wireless Limited, is a Marconi HS-31 with a power of 3.1 kilowatt on 4,820 kilohertz, 4820 kilohertz. Transmitting hours of Radio Gambia are as follows. Mondays to Fridays from 0630 to 0800 hours, from 1200 to 1400 hours, and from 1700 to 2300 hours. On Saturdays, the morning transmission lasts until 0900 hours. On Sundays, Radio Gambia broadcasts from 0900 to 1400 hours and from 1700 to 2300 hours. Since September the 5th, the English program of Radio RSA from the United Kingdom from 1800 to 1850 hours GMT on 21,480 kHz, 2148 kHz in a 13-meter band, and on 15,155 kHz, 15155 kHz in a 19-meter band. We have more DX news in our mailbag, but before that, we announce the solution of the contest in the July program. Yes, of course, the station was Radio London, Big L, the name of the tune, Big Lil, the ship, MV Galaxy, and the wavelength, 266 meters. And judging by the number of entries, well, over 400 actually, you have been very loyal indeed. We had to draw lots, however. The winner of our Man of Action record is Mr. Raymond C. Robinson, 16 Ellesmere Gardens, Redbridge, Ilford, Essex, United Kingdom. Congratulations, Ray, and thanks for your very interesting letter. By the way, Ray,
The P.O. box you referred to in your letter is no longer in use. It's mailbag time again. P.O. Box 113 is calling thee. Rather long mailbag, we thank Mr. Horst Wohl in Germany for his several letters containing very interesting DX tips for German listeners. Horst hat 23.40 Uhr GMT das deutschsprachige Programm von Radio Transmundial do Brasil gehört auf 15.375 kHz, 15375 kHz im 19 Meter Band. Der Sendeplan von Radio Transmundial erwähnt zwar eine Frequenz von 15.345 kHz, 15345 kHz, ebenfalls im 19 Meter Band. Die Programme heißen in Sao Paulo produziert und vom Insel Bonaire ausgestrahlt zu werden. Thank you, Mr. Nils Tallinn from Uppsala in Sweden for an excellent reception report on 9935 kHz. Mr. Tallinn is a 29-year-old university student who is very much interested in RNI. I can tell you, Nils, that in response to our 31-meter band outlet, hundreds of letters from people in Asia, Africa, America, and even Australia and New Zealand have been received. As a matter of fact, very recently our friend Chris Eitzinger, who presents a weekly DX show on the Dutch service of Radio RSA in Johannesburg, has reported that RNI is coming in loud and clear in South Africa on 9935 kHz as from 1800 hours GMT. Voor de goede orde delen we in dit verband nog even mede dat per september jongstleden het Nederlandstalige programma van Radio RSA te beluisteren is van 1700 tot 1750 GMT op de volgende nieuwe frequenties in de 19 en 13 meter banden. 15.155 kHz, 15155 kHz en 21.535 kHz, 21535 kHz. De puntjes op DX van Chris Eitzinger komen elke donderdagavond rond 17.30 op antenne. Hello to Sweden once again. We call Mr. Kjell Bergqvist in Borlänge. If I'm not mistaken, we have several North Sea Ghost DX listeners in that city. Mr. Bergqvist read about North Sea Ghost DX in the Swedish DX magazine Ether Aktuellt. In answer to your letter, Kjell, surely these are Radio Nord jingles. RNI reviving Radio Nord. Hearing those jingles must have brought back many happy memories to our Scandinavian listeners. Danke vielmals Herr Gerald Kropp aus Hamburg für den Empfangsbericht und das beigefügte Foto der Galaxie. Mr. Kropp picked up Radio Lebanon on 17,830 kHz, 17830 kHz, between 1830 and 1900 hours GMT, with an English language program for Europe. Radio Ghana was monitored by Mr. Kropp between 1445 and 1530 hours GMT, and 21,545 kHz, 21545 kHz, with an English program for Africa. Hello to Mr. Ray Fish in Minehead, Somerset. Thank you for all the interesting things, Ray, on both occasions, and keep up the good work when you're in Oxford. By the way, Radio London Big L will be discussed in a not-too-distant future. Robbie van den Broeke uit Mechelen, België, vroeg ons het adres van de commercial radio organization in Gent. Dat hebben we even voor opgezocht, Robbie. Het adres is Commercial Radio Organization, Hogeweg 219, Sint Amandsberg. Het postnummer voor Sint Amandsberg is 9110. Even herhalen, Commercial Radio Organization, Hogeweg 219, 9110, Sint Amandsberg. In Burnley, Lancashire, we call Mr. Alan Dean. Thank you for a well matters and excellent reports, Alan. It is always a pleasure to read your letters. The most detailed reception report I ever received came from Ireland. Thank you, Mr. John Dowling in County Carlow. Your report has been of real help. Before we go, a quick thank you ever so much to Phil and Hal Wickham. A pity that your tape reached me too late for the previous program, but I'll be making use of it fairly soon. And that brings us to the end of the September mailbag. Don't forget to write to Nonsense DX, P.O. Box 113, CH 8047, Zurich, Switzerland. For this program proves that people all over Europe and even beyond are interested in events around the offshore stations of the past. It is RNI's wish, when talking about the past, not to hide the present in offshore radio history, the story of Radio North Sea International itself. A very eventful and involved story, sometimes regrettably so. A story of a beautiful ship and the worst of hazards. A story of a handful of dedicated men who set a goal and finally reached it after braving what could be called the nigh insurmountable. That's the story the RNI souvenir book is all about. Beautifully printed in both Dutch and English, with many pictures on every major event around the station, it is yours for just 10 guilders, or the equivalent in your own currency. Send cash or an international money order to RNI souvenir book, P.O. Box 113, CH 8047, Zurich in Switzerland. No British money orders or checks will be accepted. That address once again, RNI Souvenir Book, P.O. Box 113, CH 8047, Zurich in Switzerland. Remember, just 10 guilders or the equivalent in your own currency for the full story of the station that for your musical entertainment continues to brave the waves. It is time on North Sea Ghost DX for worldwide station identification. And in the studio, we have Mark and Kurt, who will join me to tell the world that this is the one and only RNI.
Tune with the World Service of Radio North Sea International, broadcasting from the radio ship Mebo 2, anchored in international waters off the coast of Europe. Calling listeners in Europe on 64 alpha kilohertz in 49 meter band, and calling the world on 9935 kilohertz in the 31 meter band.
U bent afgestemd op de werelduitzendingen van Radio North Sea International vanaf het radioschip Mebo 2 voor de kust van Europa. Wij zenden uit op 6205 kilohertz in de 49 meter band voor Europa. En voor de rest van de wereld op 9935 in de 31 meterband. Om radiozee Mebo 2 horen ze in moment die wereldzendingen van Radio Noordzee Internationaal. Voor Europa op 6205 kHz in 49 meterband. En voor die wereld op 9935 kHz in 31 meterband. Vous êtes à l'écoute des émissions mondiales de Radio Noordzee Internationaal, émettant du bateau Radio Mebo 2 à l'ancre dans la mer du Nord. Nos émissions sont diffusées sur 6205 kHz dans la bande 49 mètres pour l'Europe et sur 9935 kHz dans la bande 31 mètres pour le monde entier. Aquí las emisiones mundiales de Radio Norte Internacional desde el barco transmisor Mebo 2 en el Mar del Norte. Radiamos para la Europa sobre 6205 kilociclos a la banda de 49 metros y para el mundo sobre 9935 kilociclos a la banda de 31 metros.
The moment has come at last. Have you got your tape recorders ready? For here we go with the next in the series on offshore radio history. From the World Service of Radio North Sea International, the story of Radio Hauraki, New Zealand.
Truly independent station since 1936.
is a story of people everywhere. The people who created Radio Hauraki. The people who gave their support by listening to and advertising on this unique enterprise in modern communications. It is also the story of courageous people of the sea who, under conditions that were at times well nigh impossible, maintained a small wooden ship on a big, dangerous stretch of ocean. 1,111 days at sea.
In early 1966, the ambitious plan of 24-year-old David Gapes and a group of dedicated friends such as Derek Lowe, Chris Parkinson and Dennis O'Callaghan was made public in the New Zealand press. The time had come to give the country a commercial alternative to the NZBC and to do away with the latter's monopoly. In May 1966, a broadcasting license was applied for, but this met with refusal by the New Zealand authorities. Gapes and his men, however, decided that the moment was there to wake up New Zealand and that they would be the people to do it, even without such a license. Financially, they were not very well off. Together they had some £5,000, but luck was on their side when they managed to convince a large New Zealand advertiser to advance them a further £5,000. A postal trader, the Tory, was bought and refitted as a radio station in the Western Farallapps. At this point in time, while plans for Radio Hauraki were forging ahead, government officials were becoming equally determined to stamp out the menace of free enterprise radio. In September 1966, the Minister of Broadcasting and Marine, Mr. Scott, who was also the Postmaster General, signed a detention order to hold the Tory in port. On October 30th, 1966, the Tory made a desperate bid for open sea, but the Western Viaduct Bridge was partly lowered to prevent the Tory from escaping. The crew was arrested, but later released. On November the 11th, 1966, Mr. Gapes outwitted the authorities by inviting newsmen to his home while a blacked-out Tory quietly slipped from her moorings and put to sea. However, after 1 hour's test transmission, the guy wire snapped and the 150-foot-high mast was lost overboard. On December the 5th, the Tory was ready again, and the first regular test transmission went on the air.
Radio Hauraki, top of the dial, and we're broadcasting a test transmission on 1480. I doubt you know that we've been in the Great Barrier at Port Tryphena. We've done some modifications to the transmitter, and we've also erected our full antenna, so we're expecting to be putting out quite a good signal tonight. So we'd like to know how well you are receiving us, so drop us a line, Radio Hauraki.
In 1967, Hauraki's broadcasting techniques and transmission quality was further improved. The Hauraki audience was constantly growing, advertising was pouring in. Success seemed close at hand, but disaster was lying ahead. We remind you that the Mayday calls you will hear in a few minutes are mere recordings. All is well on board the Mebo 2.
The 27th, 1968. The unforeseen happened. After cruising on a Mercy mission, the Tory suffered a power loss and drifted onto rocks on the western side of Great Barrier Island. This is a broadcast we'll never forget. Mayday, mayday, mayday. This is Paul Wynham on board the MV Tory. Mayday, mayday. We are on the rocks. We estimate our position to be near Wangaparapara Harbour on Great Barrow Island, on the western side of Great Barrow Island. We cannot transmit,
on the radio telephone. We can receive. We can receive. We're keeping listening watch on 2182. Anybody hearing this call, please contact the authorities. Mayday, mayday, mayday.
This is Derek King again on board the Terry. I'd like to warn everybody who's looking for us that we have no lights. We have no lights. We have a torch, a flashlight, and the after cabin cabin lights are on. They're below deck. So there's very little lighting on board the Terry. Very little lighting indeed. Hold on a minute.
This is a recording.
Our compass bearing is 160 degrees. 160 degrees is our compass bearing.
Yes, sir.
That compass bearing is from the Watchman light. As I said before, we're off the rocks. We're off the rocks. We're showing no lights, and our engine is failing. The engine is failing. Oh, God, I don't think it's on. No, the engine has stopped. The engine has stopped now. Yes, we've lost our engine. We're going back into the rocks again. We're going back into the rocks again. This is as urgent mayday, as urgent the mayday call as the one previously. We're going back into the rocks, and the engine has failed. Please do not try to hunt for any bright lights. All the deck lights are out. The engine room lights are out, and all the that's the after deck and foredeck lights have all gone.
This is the MV Terry. We're on the rocks on the Wangapara side of Great Barrier Island.
We're endeavouring to anchor on the rocks, and we're going to send up a flare. Anyone observes this flare, or anyone who knows anyone who is in the area, would they please advise them? Would anyone also listening please advise Auckland Radio at Music Point by telephone of our plight, and tell them that we are receiving on radio telephone frequency 2182, but are unable to transmit other than on the 1480 band.
We're very lucky, actually. The transmitter's still going. God knows what's happened to that mast, but it must be waving around like a fishing line of the marlin. We're receiving on frequency 2182, as you did before, and we're endeavouring to put the anchor down.
Yes, put Friday actually down here, that the side of our hulls are going to cave in.
So she's a pretty solid ship, the Terry. We're all hoping she's a solid ship anyway.
I've got a good mind to change this damn weather forecast now, actually. Situation around the Terry. This is no time for joking. There we've gone, we've hit once. We're going back onto the rocks now.
Well, we'll keep up. Starting on frequency 2182. Receiving on frequency 2182.
We have gone aground near the entrance to the Wangapara Harbour. The Wangapara Harbour on Great Barrier Island. We have gone aground on the entrance to Wangapara Harbour on Great Barrier Island. We're hitting continuously now. I don't know how long I can stay with you.
There we've gone again. That was rather bad, actually. We've gone on Wangapara.
There. Abandon ship. Abandon ship. I'm turning the microphone up loud. Abandon ship.
Abandon ship. The siren has gone. We are abandoning ship. The siren has gone. We are abandoning ship.
The rocks are within swimming distance. I've got to go now. I've turned the microphone up loud. I hope the transmitter holds well.
We are abandoning ship. Our position is in the Wangapara Harbour.
I love you, Mum, but
this is a recording. This is RNI.
I'm trying to do a program. Not tonight. Very good evening from the Terry. Could very well be the Terry's last program.
It's now 5 hours. Sure, the very deepest regret to pay for your program. Starting off with Richard Croon's little record called The Great Big Bad. Background music courtesy of King Neptune. We're all preparing to remove ourselves to what could be termed safer quarters. Actually, we had a very good day today. We're out searching for this fellow who fell off the boat. And this searching and searching and searching. We couldn't find him. On our way back, the darkness closed in, and we found ourselves without a mooring. Howracky News. Howracky crew are abandoning ship. This is Paul Lynam on board the Terry. Good night.
This is the World Service of Radio North Sea International. You just heard a recording of dramatic events in the life of Radio Howracky. All is well on board the Mebo 2. Salvage operations began on January the 28th, and a very sad-looking Terry was towed to Auckland. A new and bigger ship was found, the Kapuni, and was renamed Terry 2. 4 weeks and 4 days after the January disaster, Howracky was back on the air. But soon, fate struck again.
Easter 1968, during one of the worst storms in living history, the storm that sank the Wahine. The Terry 2, whilst sheltering at Whangaparapara on Great Barrier Island, was torn from the wharf and dashed again onto rocks nearby. The hull was okay, but that beautiful new mast, all 150 feet of it, ended up over the side. It resembled a tube of toothpaste without the tube. Working on a temporary wire aerial, Mike Jack reported next morning.
Storm last night. At the stage that the storm hit us, we estimated the winds to be near or in excess of 100 miles an hour. It was really an incredible sight to see the seas and the wind affecting the ship while we were last night. There was no hope of the mast staying. The ship sheered away from the wharf to which it was moored, ran onto the rocks, and within only a few minutes overwent the mast as the sea started to sheer off. Now, as I said, we are doing a test transmission of the wire aerial. We would like anyone who is listening or who is picking up this signal at the present to contact our office and give a signal report.
Quick repairs, and a week later,
Radio Howracky's ship Terry 2 expected to sail about now and should be begin transmitting early this evening.
The Terry was examined this morning by a marine surveyor who found no structural damage after the ship's recent grounding, and she was given a clearance to sail. Today's low tide has prevented the Terry from sailing until now.
And we're on the air again. But earlier, we're testing our transmitter and our new 105-foot antenna for the next few hours. So how about giving our studio an off on the wing and telling them what reception's like in your home or your car or, well, wherever you are.
In June, a new southeast gale made the Terry 2 break from her moorings, and after fighting a devilish sea for 10 hours, the Terry stranded on the beach. However, a few days later, Howracky was back on the air. The rest of the Howracky story is being told during the final minutes in the life of offshore Radio Howracky on June the 2nd, 1970.
1969 came and went without undue incident for the Terry, but on the mainland, things were changing. After nearly 3 years, we were at last able to plan for a permanent establishment. We were allowed the opportunity to apply for a warrant to operate our own private radio station on land. I guess that act of Parliament could be called literally a dream come true. A company called Radio Howracky New Zealand Limited was formed, and in November 1969, heavily oversubscribed. New Zealand's first public hearings for private radio warrants were held in January 1970, and 2 months later, we were to learn of our success in gaining a warrant. That was a very happy day. Be off the air for at least 3 months. Then we'll be back on our brand new radio station with transmitters and masts at Mangere, with temporary studios and offices in Caltech's house, and later permanent premises at Parnell. Most of the people involved in this station will continue with our new organization, and we look forward to renewing our links with you, the listener, as soon as possible. And appropriate to be saying these few final words
from Australia.
Deep in the hold of Tiri 2. This is where it all happened, where thousands and thousands of 7-inch tapes were played from 5 recorders featuring shows recorded in our Auckland studios
by a handful of good guys.
All have become well known to you. Of live radio too from our onboard good guys. Radio Hauraki, 24 hours a day, 1111 days at sea.
During salvage operations under our control, crew of Radio Hauraki vessels at all times gave signal service during refloating, and it was my pleasure to have been associated with this group of young enthusiasts.
Well, of course, as you know, I'm a bit of a purist. These boys are pirates. But when I saw you working hard out in the Gulf, and I did see the storms that you went through, I realised that the boys, the greenhorns you were sending out there, were pretty brave men. And remember, if anybody thinks that they just went out and did their job, they're wrong. I've seen them hanging over the rail when I've flown over, and they were very seasick. They were becoming seafaring people. But we have seen you grow through a very, very strenuous time.
It's kind of hard looking back to believe how good people really were. The creditors, my creditors, for instance, sort of acting without any desire for explanation, my little excuses that I couldn't pay up this week, perhaps next week or the week after, the week after. I think people were really good in the old days. That's not to say they're not good now, but perhaps they were better in the old days. Hauraki was a lot of fun, and I guess for a lot of people it remained a lot of fun. Certainly will be for me. The shipwreck, well, that was a lot of fun too, in a very kinky sort of way. It certainly made me, which I'm deeply grateful to Hauraki, although I sort of regret it cost them a ship to do it.
Hauraki's produced enough blood, sweat and tears to satisfy any Churchill as an outsider, but one close enough to know just what challenges were faced and overcome. I can't help feeling sincere admiration for what Dave Gapes and his team have done. In fact, I can't help feeling that the achievement may have even more significance than they themselves realise. The Radio Hauraki story is, to my mind, something that should be an example to New Zealanders in every field of just what vision, guts, stamina and ability can achieve.
One thing I do like to remember is the friends I made amongst the crew we had, and we had many, many people from various walks of life, and the friends we made on the barrier, the friends we made at Wangapara, and the friends we made at Shoal Bay. Altogether, it was an experience that I would never miss, but it was something that perhaps is one of the only things in the world today. The last of the pirate stations.
His Worship the Mayor of Auckland, Mr. Robinson.
You've been through some very stormy times, you've had your troubles, but now you've got a license, and all I can say on behalf of the people of Auckland is good luck for the future.
Have we tried to mention the thousands of people and groups who've helped us reach our objectives, we'd be going all night. All we can say is thanks a lot.
If it weren't for your assistance and loyalty,
we'd never have seen it through. On reflection at this particular time, even the bad times were good. This whole crazy, unpredictable and wonderful period of 1111 days, 3.5 long years, has been worth every disaster, every sacrifice, every, you name it. Tonight is the end of an era, a part of New Zealand history. Appropriately, we close the saga of the Tiri by playing as our final record the same song that we first hit the air with on December 5th, 1966. You know it. We've lived by it. May you continue to benefit from the thoughts and ideas contained in this most expressive piece of music. This is Ian McGann for David Gapes, our skippers and crew, and the whole gang at Radio Hauraki. On this, our 1111th day at sea, it's goodbye from the Tiri. Au revoir, good night, and thank you.
Born free as the wind blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Time you look
And just before our final goodbye for today, let me remind you that next time part two of Sounds from the Sands will be broadcast. We will be featuring Radio Invictor, Radio KING, and Radio 390. Make sure to tune in to North Sea Goes DX on the last Sunday in October. Until we meet again on the airwaves next month, hopefully so, this is yours truly, A.J. Behrens, B-E-I-R-E-N-S, wishing you good DXing, and if school is starting again for you, I wish you A's all the way. Cheerio.
Thank you, A.J. Behrens, for a very interesting program.
Includes my seat for the past 50 minutes. You're listening to Radio North Sea International, 10 minutes before 11 GMT, and the news with Mike Ross. Radio North Sea.